Could you do something for me? You guys remain standing. Could we just sing that chorus of I'm on the Winning Side one more time? Thank you. If you're on the winning side, you'd love that song, don't you? I'm on the winning side. Yeah. Yeah, wherever you want to. You're on the winning side. Praise God. Yourself a big hand. Thank you. Maybe see. Thank you, Crystal. That's mighty nice of you. Oh, good to be in church. Our Sunday school teachers, if you miss Sunday school, you really miss the blessing. They get me all wound up, and then my wife starts squeezing my knee and want me to shut up. We used to go away on our vacations, and when we would go away, we try to go to a church over Sunday, and some Baptist church in South Child, about half dead, somebody would get up and start mumbling, and I'd be commenting directly. He'd say, are you a preacher? I said, well, I've been accused of that. And he said, you won't come teach a lesson? I said, I thought you never asked me. And so I get excited in the Sunday school and want to say something. Then he went, shut up. You can't shut me up. I was called to preach. That's what I want to do. Let's have prayer. Stand one more time. Is it still too cold? Getting warm in here now, huh? There's someplace else warm. And people say, well, I don't hear any preaching on hell anymore. And then the preacher uses a word. Everybody, oh, he used a word. Oh, and that other place. Dear God, thank you for a church that believes in the old-time religion. Thank you, God, for a church that wants to see people get saved before it's eternally too late. And God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord that are in Ukraine. We pray for the kindred spirit of freedom and liberty of those that are there. Lord, we pray you'd help them. Lord, so much suffering and dying and hurting. And Lord, we're sitting back idly, not doing much. We pray for them this morning. Pray you'd help us, Lord, in this service to preach the whole counsel of God. Lord, not to leave anything out, and that there be none doubting the precious word of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Unless you want to get up and shout, you can remain seated now. We're in Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. And the message this morning is about the shedding of tears. The shedding of tears. You know, we show our emotions everywhere but in church. I think that's what we're supposed to do. If the ball game goes into extra innings, we go screaming, yeah! The pitcher gets a strikeout, man, we really holler. And if the guy at the plate hits a home run, man, we go wild. But boy, in church, keep it straight. Don't get too happy in church. Well, I'm happy about who I am, where I'm going. And I know who I am. And I know when I go away from here, which restroom to use. Nobody has to tell me. Sometimes you go to some of these places. We were traveling in Germany, and I had to translate the words. And we went into other southern foreign countries for male and female on the doors. And if I wasn't sure, I'd look in there. When I first started college down in North Carolina, I went into the bathroom before I went into my first class, checked myself out. My wife had bought me a new jacket and tie so I looked presentable. And I saw this beautiful face and this long hair being combed at the sink there. And I thought, my, I've put in the wrong restroom. I went out. I looked and said, boys on the door. I thought, what is going on? And I opened the door, and it was coming out. And I said, are you a man or a woman? He said, I'm a man. I said, you sure got pretty hair. Why don't you get a cut? I said, this is supposed to be a Bible college. And I said, did you know the Bible said long hair on a man? It's not good. Did it say that? It says it in the book of Corinthians. Look it up. People don't know what's in the Bible. They just go with whatever they want. But notice that those verses. He said, when we were in captivity, they had sorrow. But when we got free, we really were happy. And he said, we were singing and laughter and having a good time. And he said, we enjoyed it. And he said, I think what we need, following up in our Sunday school lesson a little bit, I'm paraphrasing what the psalmist said, is I think we need another captivity. He said, I think we need to go into captivity, and then we'll learn how to be happy again. We'll learn how to praise God again. And we'll learn how to weep. And so, weeping for the souls of lost men. People will get saved. People will come to Calvary when we start weeping again over the lost, undone condition of this town, this county, this state. When our lieutenant governor stands up in a public meeting before people and says it's a good thing to have marijuana and smoke it, we're in big trouble. And when we have at a local high school somebody that is a boy who wants to be a girl, we're in trouble. Amen? When people are running and killing and destroying property that doesn't belong to them, they've never worked a day or paid a dime for the tax, it's time to have revival. And it's time to weep at the altars and wet them with our tears. So we need to weep over lost souls and sow the precious seed of God. Let's look at some of the people that was willing to weep. Joseph wept when he saw his brother. You know the story. Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit. Then they saw some people coming by, and they sold him in slavery. Sold him into slavery. He got put in prison for something he didn't do. The head man's wife accused him of trying to rape her. And he ran out and left his coat, and her husband, she said, see, he left his coat. They put him in prison. God promised to help him when he got out, forgot about him. He finally got out. They made him second to the King Almighty. And we got ready for 6 years of good. He said, told the king, said, we got to get all that harvest in and save it because we're going to have that many years of famine. And his dad and his brothers were suffering. They didn't have any preparation when that time came, and they came down. And he realized it was his brothers, but they didn't recognize him because it had been so long. And so he sent them back and said, I want you to bring anybody else at the house and your dad. When he got down there, he tricked him, put a cup of his in there, and accused the brother of stealing it, said, I'm keeping him in prison till your dad comes down. So his dad came down. But when he saw his family, he started weeping. And Joseph in Genesis 43:30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into the chamber and wept there. He wept over his family. When you go away, when you spend time away from home, you get to come back with your family. Some of those people in the Ukraine never come back. Some people in the unknown tombs of the soldiers in Washington will never come back. People are fighting for freedom, and we won't even weep over America. We won't weep over our sins. We won't weep over our church and our family when they do wrong. He looked for a place to weep, and he went back in the house and wept and washed his face and come out and sat down. You know the story. He brought him in, gave him the food. And because of Joseph, his parents, his family didn't die. He went through all that time in prison. He went through all that bad stuff. Number two, Israel wept over Moses. They didn't like Moses a lot of times because he was cracking the whip. He was a leader. He said, you got to do this and you got to do that. When he was taking them out, he went around the back way. Why don't you go the good way? There's lessons you will learn in life, but not taking the easy road. Take the hard road. I remember several years ago when I started back to school, I graduated one, two, three from the bottom of my class because I wanted to have fun, play around, and I wasn't all that adept at school anyway. And when I got ready to go to college, I figured I better get to work. I went up there to that math class, and that teacher was writing with one hand and racing off with the other one. I thought, boy, I'm in trouble. And he had those signs, greater than, less than. I didn't even know what he meant. But I went through that class, and I started learning. And when we was picking out, they had a list. You had to go down and pick out what class you wanted. All these kids were saying, I want this teacher. I said, I don't know any of them. I said, which one's the hardest teacher on there? They said, oh, you don't want this one. I said, that's the one I want. I missed a lot in my going through high school, having fun, spending time in 3 days suspension and all that stuff in my senior year. I said, I need some teaching. Well, Moses taught him. But when Moses died, they realized that. Look what they said there in Deuteronomy 34:8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses. Would to God we could have Moses back in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. They wept over him for 30 days. They realized they had lost a good leader. But God took him and God buried him. And that's why nobody knows where the place is, because God buried him. You know, that's in your Bible too. Moses did all that work. Remember when he was writing out the Ten Commandments, come down, his own brother Aaron, sister, turned against him, made idols for them. He got so mad. People say you don't ever get angry. We're supposed to get angry with sin. Get angry with sin. But we just, oh, well, I don't want to get too emotional about this. Let your emotions fly. Job wept. Job had a lot to weep over. He said it wasn't over his own. Job 16:15. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn into dust. He really went through it. Read the story of Job. Not for anything bad he did. My face is foul with weeping, and my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for my injustice in mine hands, not what I did. Also, my prayer's pure, but I'm just praying for this terrible thing that's happening. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. May the people hear. May the people see. One of the memories, and I've shared it with you before, that helped bring me to the Lord, was coming home tonight after a night of carousing, and the minute I would step in the door and try to be quiet, I'd hear the bed springs creak. My mother would say, "Thank God you brought my Johnny boy home one more time." She knew I was living wrong. She'd tell me about it. My mother wept over me. I believe those tears, and we'll see a moment, are bottled up in heaven. We find when King Herod was slaying the children, Rachel wept. You remember when King Herod sent the three wise men to go look where see Jesus was born? And they went. They wouldn't tell him. They wouldn't go back and tell him. But because he couldn't find him, he decided to kill all the children under a certain age that were born after a certain time. Killed all of them. We're not much better, are we? We kill our unwanted babies. Just kill them and license practice it. Get a doctor to do it. Get a surgeon to do it. My goodness. Judgment's going to be a revealing place when God brings about every one of that. In the book of Revelations, it talks about the bloody hands coming out from under the altar. I believe that's the hands of those babies that were killed in the womb, jerked out. If they weren't dead, they finished it off there. My, my, my. Matthew 2:18 records it for us. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping over her children and would not be comforted because they're not. Killing off the children. An angry king. We've got a guy doing that now. Bombing the nurseries. Bombing the homes. Kill the young people. Do away with them. And some of us, we let them live when they're growing up to be drug addicts, lazy bums, or whatever. Jesus promised that if we truly shed tears for the right purpose, there would be joy coming. Number 5 there. Luke 6:21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. This was about weeping, but I like that part where it says, "For ye that hunger." I may never eat again in this life, but God says there'll be a supper time where I can sit down and eat with him. Praise God. When I see you guys eating a meal looks so delicious in other places, and sometimes I go to the restaurant with my wife and order some tea or something, I think, oh God. But one day we shall laugh. He said weeping in Psalm 30, chapter 5, second part of that. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping over the purposes of God, over the lost world, over the abortion, over the kids that have no direction, don't know if they want to be a boy or girl, all of that. The word says, weep for those that weep. People are weeping, maybe we don't know why. We need to weep with those people in Ukraine. We need to weep with them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. There's people that are shedding their tears. I think I shared it Wednesday night. One little boy, about 10 years old, traveled 600 miles out of the Ukraine and got to safety all by himself. All by himself. Wow. Think of that. Think of that. It is something to behold. Jesus wept. The Bible says when he came to the tomb of Lazarus, his sisters was chiding the Lord. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He said, far greater purpose. is going to come of this. Something better is going to happen. Stand still. Be still. And watch God work. Jesus was on time when he was one day late. Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days already. Behold, he stinketh. He went up to the tomb. Your problem, my problem, ain't over till Jesus says it's over. We're not dead. We're not dead until he says so. And the reverse of that, listen to me, children. If God says your time's up, it's up. And all the doctors and all the hospitals and all the medications, they're going to keep you here. Just be ready for any moment for him to take you and live every day, if it's so your last, and work and laugh and play like you're going to do it again tomorrow. Amen? Just keep keeping on. Keep up the fight. I've enlisted in the fight till I get to the end of the fight. I'm not quitting early. I'm not stopping. I'm not laying down. I'm not being a coward. Not giving up hope. I'm continually. Paul wept over the mission field. Paul once killed Christians. He was there when they stoned Stephen. The Bible says the blood off of the people they killed flashed upon his clothes. But on the road to Damascus, did you know it's in the Bible we're not supposed to wear a mask? Damascus. Aren't you glad? Get them off. Enjoy the fresh air. Enjoy springtime. And the robins landed last week. They were sure looking for some place to eat this morning, but we had food out for them too. Paul wept over him. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul said, I watered my couch praying for Ephesians, praying for Ephesus. They finally got one of the best churches there that ever had to read about in all the Bible. The only thing was they forgot who they were doing it for. In Revelation, God said, I only got one thing against you. You've left your first love. You don't love me anymore. They needed to weep some more. We need to weep over our children. We need to weep over our church. We need to weep over our angry people who don't know how to handle all the stuff that's going on in the world today. We need to pray for them. They need a dose of salvation. They need a dose of old-time Southern gospel church. They need it. They need it bad. One day, God will wipe all those tears from our eyes. Think of that. When we get there and get ready to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus himself will gird himself, set us down. And before that, God himself will step down off of his throne and every tear, wipe that tear away. Woo, glory, glory. The God Almighty, the God of grace that saved us, will wipe our tears away. How wonderful, how wonderful. Oh, Pastor John, that's just figuratively speaking. No, 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 sister. No, no, brother. That is the God's truth. The Bible says it. I believe it. Amen. Everything that's in this book is holy. And it's so holy they couldn't get it all in there. They put it on the outside. Holy Bible. I don't know if this is funny or not. The first time I ever set foot in this country, when we were getting ready to start a church out there, well, we were out visiting a friend of mine, and we were talking to this old guy who lived in a shack out there just before we get to Madisonville. And he said, I want you to show me that Bible. I said, here it is. He said, no, no, the one you got with holes in it. He said, you told me it had a holy Bible. I said, huh? What are you talking about? You're talking about the Holy Bible. I said, it's another word. It means different, something different. But that was kind of funny. It helped the conversation along. Anyway, God will wipe away the tears. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. That's Jesus. And shall lead them unto fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Guess where there's tears that will never be wiped away? There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. They're never dry. They never get relief. The rich man prayed for Lazarus, for Abraham to send Lazarus, with just his finger, just a bit of his finger, wet with water, and cool my parched tongue. Didn't get it, won't get it, never through hell. Why do we get so emotional, Pastor? Because there is a hell, because people die and go there, and some of them might be your relatives, some might be mine, some might be more my great-great grandkids coming on. I don't know. I send them Christmas gifts, I send them tracts, I tell them I do all I can. Some of my relatives have never been inside of a church house of any kind. I'm telling you, and the Bible says, hell has enlarged herself. Means they're getting more people all the time. My goodness, folks, our work is not done. The light's still on. God's still giving us the finances to go. God blesses what we're doing. I announced to our trustees and our deacons, I want us to have a campfire out here as soon as the weather breaks a little bit with our kids and have them invite their friends. And then we're going to do some more stuff. Maybe play some games. We need to attract people into this place and give them the gospel. It'd be terrible to grow up in McCollinsburg and never go to church and never hear about God and never get saved. We want to get saved. Saved. Glory. The hymn writer said, I am saved. Glory. Tears are priceless. Listen to this. This is what the psalmist said. Told you about the tears of my mother. Psalm 56:8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God bottles up the tears of the righteous, and the scribe writes it down in the book as a testimony. My mother's tears are in heaven in a bottle as a testimony that it helped bring me to Christ and all these others that we mentioned. Bottling up the tears and recording them in heaven. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. We need to pray for that Ukraine. During the Yom Kippur War, you know, they were trying to take over Israel. And they had them on the day after after one of the religious holidays when they fasted. And they said, this is the day we'll go because they'll be unprepared. They'll be unprepared. And they went. And when they got there and saw them standing up there, they turned and ran. Years later, they had one of those Muslim soldiers, and they asked him, why didn't you attack Israel? He said, are you crazy? That hill was lined with warriors in silver array and weapons. God is not finished with what's going on in Ukraine. I don't know how it's going to turn out. If I was 30 years younger, I'd pack my bags and go, honestly. I would. People say, well, I don't believe in fighting other people's battles. I do when it's an unjust thing. I do when it's an unjust thing. There are just wars. And they're fighting for their freedom and they're fighting for their rights. He said in verse 10, in God will I praise His word. I just read you from the word about the tears. In the Lord will I praise His word. I believe it was Mike brought it to our attention. Again, I say it, I preach it, I hope it gets out there. This is the living word. Jesus is the physical word that became flesh. It says the word of God became flesh. This is Jesus Christ. I am the word. You can take this all the way to heaven. There'll be this book in heaven. Amen. And they've tried to stomp it out. They've kicked it out of the church. They've kicked it out of schools. They've kicked it out of the government. And it keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. The Word of God is sure. We're not sure about anything else. Did you ever read, I don't know if they do it anymore, the large newspapers years ago in Chicago and New York and other places? They would have, at the end of the week, a place where they printed all the mistakes that they made for the week in their printing and corrected them. I guess they lie so much anymore, they don't know how they would have enough room to correct them. But this book don't need corrected. By, do you know the transvestites and the freaks and everybody, they try to change the Word of God. They even make copies calling them Bibles. They're not Bibles. They're perversions. This is not a translation. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. We don't need to translate it. We just need to preach it. We need to tell it like it is. In verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do me. That president over there in the Ukraine is one of the bravest men you've seen lately. I'm not afraid. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. They may kill him. They may torture him. But he died for a cause. He died like a man, like a warrior. While Biden hides in his place down there, goes home at weekend, hides in his house, and sends a woman to do his job. What kind of man is that? And she don't know whether she's up or down. Laugh at, about people dying. In God, I will not be afraid. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am on the winning side. Amen. Are you with me, church? We're on the winning side. Let's keep it up. Amen. Would you stand for prayer? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, burst upon us a new birth of freedom. Burst upon us a new desire to be spiritual about the things of God, His house, and that little schoolhouse down there. And yes, we're having some people come and speak about their running for offices. Yes, down there by that school. Lord, we believe in freedom. We believe the worst thing that can happen is for us to do nothing. And the best thing we can do is pray. Pray and shed tears over our country, over our government, over our churches, over our pastors, over our preachers, over our children. Oh God, we have so much to be thankful for. We still have it. We'll not give up. Lord, help us this morning to make a new commitment to God for a new burst of freedom in our life. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, as that piano plays softly for a few moments, and as God softly plucks at your heartstring, if you have any need, would you make it to the altar, please? If you have to pray about anything, your children, your grandchildren, yourself, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, this church, step right up. Step right up. Just come right on. God bless America. Come on. God bless America. God bless His church. God bless His church. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. If you're here this morning and you have some personal need that's too private to share, would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I have multitude of them. Will you pray for me? I have needs. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and say you'll pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor Hodge, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I die tonight or if the Lord come back, I could go. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Oh God, we pray. Make us red hot for God. Get us alive. Wake us up. Drive the Spirit of God deep in our souls. Stir us up. Make us know the God of heaven before it's too late. In Jesus' name, we're going to sing a hymn. Heather will come announce it. If you need to come still, this altar is for all of us.
236.
Amen.
Did you mean what you were saying, church? You realize what you were saying? I want to get nearer. We're studying Sunday school this morning. Chastening brings us nearer. Get closer to God. Mike, I want you to come back up here. I got an apology to make to you. Would you come up here, please? I think you were getting ready to say something about your trip, and I cut you off. I didn't mean to. I thought about it later. I was not intentional, honest. It wasn't. So maybe you wanted to say something else. And God bless you, and I pray that you have a fruitful journey and those going with you.
Next Sunday after church, we're going to have a meeting for anybody who's planning on coming on the trip, and especially people that have never been before, what to expect, what to bring. So at the conclusion of next week's service, we're going to have a meeting. I'll have forms for people to fill out. I'll have a checklist. If you need a checklist before, let me know. I'll get you one. We're looking for a fantastic trip. Baptist Church down there has given us a wonderful place to stay with the gymnasium. Weight room, if anybody has the energy to work out after. They're going to feed us 3 hot meals a day. They're going to take wonderful care of us, and they're doing their best to line up some projects where we can be God's hands and feet. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, if you would dismiss us with prayer. And after that, would you please come by and give this lady a right hand of Christian fellowship as she's joined our church. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord, for